Welcome to Manufacturing Talk Radio, your source for breaking news, business trends, and economic forecasts here and abroad that impact one-third of America's economy. And now your hosts, Lou Weiss and Tim Grady.
And thank you for joining us in this episode of Manufacturing Talk Radio. I'm Tim Grady, and co-host with me today is Lou Weiss, president of All Metals and Forge Group, who is the sponsor for the show, Manufacturing Talk Radio. So we're always glad to have him with us. And Lou, today we're going to be talking with Anthony Nieves, who is the committee chair for the Services PMI Index in this ISM series on reports on business. So we're always glad to have Anthony give us the look behind the curtain on what the numbers mean. So this should be an interesting discussion, Lou.
Yeah, actually, in the fact that we had gotten to see it a little earlier, the numbers look pretty good, considering, you know, everything that's going on or not going on in our country nowadays. But the numbers look good, so why don't you bring the man on?
So we are going to be speaking with Anthony Nieves, the chair for the Services PMI. Anthony, again, once again, welcome for joining us on Manufacturing Talk Radio.
Thanks for having me on the show. And to your comment, Tim, about, you know, behind the curtain, I want everyone to know that I'm not pulling any levers here. This is actual straight data from the ISM Survey Committee.
This is not Wizard of Oz stuff?
Well, when we look at the report, the release this morning, we see that we're on a continued path of growth. This is now 6 months in a row. We had 2 months of contraction, if you remember, back in April, May, and that was only 2 months out of the past 130 months. And granted, we could have possibly had contraction if the pandemic hadn't hit so much in the middle of the month of March. We might have seen March fall apart as well. But for the most part, again, we're measuring change and growth month over month, and we're seeing that. Granted, there's been a little bit of a pullback in the numbers. We see that the composite index at 55.9, down slightly 0.7 percentage points from October's reading. So overall, we're still looking at some good numbers here.
Yeah, absolutely. Matter of fact, they're so good, we actually have nothing more to talk about. So it's been wonderful having you on the show. only
well,
kidding,
we have
Anthony.
Plenty we can talk about, just maybe not on the release.
I just know that we're going to read or hear in the mainstream media that the services sector recovery has slowed. They clearly don't recognize that a number above 50 is expansion.
Yes.
We want to take the negative part of it. So delve into this a little for not just our listeners, Anthony, but maybe you can educate the mainstream media a little bit.
Well, it's kind of where I feel everyone tries to put a numeric value to these indexes. And these are diffusion indexes. As I mentioned, they're measuring change. And so anything above 50 is growth. Albeit we have slight slowing in that growth. But if you look at where we were last month, and I'll look at business activity specifically, it's at 58, and it shows the largest decline. If you look across the numbers outside of maybe inventories and new export orders, 3.2 percentage points down. But 58 is still a strong rate of growth, and it's 61.2 the prior month was extremely strong. Now, keep in mind, I said this in prior months on the show, that we're not at pre-pandemic levels by any stretch, but definitely on the road to recovery. The impediment we have in front of us, the roadblock that we have in front of us, is the projected or second wave, the rising cases, COVID cases that we see, additional closures. The restaurant industry is being decimated by this right now. The other industry is arts, entertainment, and recreation. Anything where there was a gathering of people, and municipalities have shut that down. So that those industries are really impacted strongly based on the recent closures. So I think if we can get past this, certain other industries seem to be doing much better. We certainly don't have the volume that we've had before, but it's definitely on the upswing and has been for the past months after the downward spike that we had, or the downward turn that we had back at the end of March. So again, if we can get past this second wave, if we can get this vaccine introduced from the two providers, we might have a brighter future going forward for some of those industries that have been so severely impacted.
Clearly. What are your respondents saying? Now, you're in a sector, you're measuring the portion of the economy that includes restaurants, hotels. I mean, I really feel for that sector, because they're getting hit hard with either closures or 25% of capacity, or some real reticence about being in a hotel room that may have been just rented by somebody else who might have had COVID, and he's kind of getting crushed. How are they doing in their comments to you, Anthony?
Well, here's a specific comment right out of Accommodation and Food Services. Conflicting national, regional, and local guidelines / requirements for COVID-19 issues are becoming increasingly difficult to navigate, leading to a lot of just-in-time type purchases. And the thing that, and I'll give you some takeaways about what's going on in the current state of affairs for that sector, for that industry within the sector, as well as the other one I mentioned, arts, entertainment, and recreation. If you look at where those industries lie, they're not in the, you know, top four or five contributors to total GDP for this particular sector. So it doesn't, it's kind of like having that diverse stock portfolio. It's so diverse, it's so eclectic, that the overall impact is not immediately recognized or felt when you're looking at the overall picture. But the one takeaway that you don't see from looking at the numbers is that when you look at the full-time equivalent or the employee picture, the employment picture for those sectors, how many people do they employ? Because even though the top-line numbers, the revenue dollars, are not there because there's this, you know, kind of a lower cost, lower margin business when you compare it to some manufacturing industries, or even if you compare it to some of the top two industries within this sector, notably on the public administration side, government, the real estate rental and leasing, when you're looking at millions of dollars in transactions, it's just we feel it from the point of the workers that are out there that are not having their income, they're not having their salaries and wages, and that does affect the economy downstream. So we have to look at this in totality.
And so what's happening, another area to look at is transportation. We talked with Tim Fiore about this yesterday, and he said the average age of a driver is in the upper 50s these days, and they're retiring out, and younger drivers are not going in. So there's got to be a kind of a crunch on getting trucks and carriers. Is that, in fact, the case?
Absolutely. It's you know, I've used this comparison in the past on the show. It's like the Swiss watches. They can't get anybody in the younger generations to apprentice to do that. Most of the youth that are entering the workforce, the last thing they want to do is drive a truck. They'd rather do something in the technology space or be the next Mark Zuckerberg. But, you know, not to give Facebook a plug here, but anyway, it's kind of where there's not the attraction to get into some of these different areas of employment. And we see that in construction as well. We talked about that in the past as well, about the trades, about that used to be a generational thing. Families had electricians and plumbers that kept coming up, and there's not the same interest with with folks wanting to get into that as they enter the workforce. And so it's we're seeing comments from our respondents as it relates to having a shortage of qualified or applicable workers for these particular areas. It's not, and you know, jobless claims are what they are. They've diminished, or I shouldn't say diminished, they've lessened, but they're still people looking for work. It's just a matter of the application of the job. And companies are having difficulty in finding, retaining, and hiring these type of folks. And additionally, as it relates specifically to the transportation arena, it's all about capacity. It's about number of trucks that are on the road. I know people that are in the freight industry, we see freight costs have gone up in the past, and they're busier than ever moving product and services around. And we see that, see all these indexes all correlate to one another. It's what's driving up prices. It's why we see prices as high as they are. It's more about supply and demand and capacity. And so therefore, we're seeing that it's having that kind of an overall effect and impact on the different parts and components of the economy.
Well, to your point, Anthony, one of your respondents brought up a point about remote working and the impact that has had. But yet in certain industries, it's really had a bad effect. For example, in retail, and I know this part of the comment to be true, that printers and PCs and iPads and iPhones and so on and so forth are beginning to leave the shelves, one, and two, they're not being sold because the retail outlets are closed, because people are not working in a facility. It's happened with us. We're operating remotely for the most part. I and two or three other people are in the office. But what's happening is, you know, we're running out of supplies. We're trying to go to Staples. I'll give them a plug. And we've got stuff on back order. We call three or four stores, and some stores are closed and some stores aren't. So it's causing a shortage in some very critical areas.
Well, you're absolutely right, and we see it reflected in the report. That's why you've seen inventory burn off. That's why you see inventories contracting. And
right,
even though prices are up and buying is happening, it's a matter of, even though the backlog is barely above the 50 baseline, there is a slowing in supplier deliveries. So it is about the lead time. You see the supplier deliveries at 57. There was only one industry that I think no industry really reported any faster deliveries month over month. So these are all, you can see the whole correlation up and down as far as when you look at these indexes and how it correlates directly to what's transpiring out there in the business world. And back to your original point, the remote working has had some benefits, but for the most part, it has caused some pain points as well.
It's going to cause big pain points in the commercial real estate world when everybody starts ultimately going back to work and companies are finding, well, wait a minute, I don't really need 8,000 square feet and I'm paying $20,000 a month rent. I only need about 3,000 or 4,000, a couple of key people, and let everyone work from home. I've talked to a couple of commercial real estate friends and associates, and they're absolutely having panic attacks over what's coming.
Yep, you're absolutely right. I see it. The building where my offices are, just on my floor alone, there was five or six different suites on there that right now only two are functional. And one of the bigger ones that they have completely shut down. And that's throughout the building. And, you know, I stagger my staff. We don't have everyone working every single day. They're coming in on a varying schedule and also working remotely. And I was looking at my office space just last week thinking I only need about half the space I currently have.
There you go. You're contributing right to the decline of the commercial real estate industry.
Yes.
No, so, I do have to have one more point on that, is that I'm finding, not that our employees are bad, I find that working remotely, things have improved. Communications have improved. Issues, things, you know, they're picking up the phone and calling one another or texting one another, and things are getting done better, faster, with less conversation at the water cooler. So we're enjoying that. And frankly, I think more than half the employees enjoy working from home.
Well, you know, I go into my office a few days a week. I'm connected with them from the time I open my eyes in the morning. We have that ability now with connectivity over the different technology platforms. I can access anything and everything I can from my laptop or my phone. So it's more about just having physical interaction. Everything gets handled and channeled almost the same way. Actually, more productivity in the sense of you cut back the transportation time to and from, the commute time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, that part's not so terrible, even though I am not one of those who like working from home. And that's why I've been in the office 6 days a week for the last 7-8 months.
Yeah, I don't like it. I've never liked it. I've always been one that I felt that I needed focus and I didn't need any distractions. Yet I find that I've become accustomed to not having to do that L.A. traffic. And even though it's not as bad as it was pre-pandemic, it's kind of nice not having to be in a car for 2 hours of time each day.
Yeah, well, no doubt. Been there, done that. Anthony, with all the things we've talked about not doing well, what's driving the services sector?
Well, what's driving it is, as if you think back to March, we had, well, let's go back to before March. Before the pandemic, the economy in this sector was on fire, right? Our biggest concern was that we didn't want to see the economy overheat. We didn't want to see this sector overheat to where we would just have this sharp decline. And there was talk even of perhaps another recessionary period down the road. Well, materialize, we got hit with a pandemic instead. And that kind of took the train off the rails there. And so we had complete closure, shutdown of all these different businesses other than essential businesses, specifically in healthcare and certain retail type businesses. Now we're seeing, going from where we were really rock bottom to where we're having this period of recovery as businesses started reopening, and we saw this growth month over month. We've had a couple of pullbacks when there's been some closures implemented, but still, think about this comparison. Back in March, when almost everything shut down, even though we've had shutdowns right now that have decimated, as we've been talking about, the restaurant industry or arts, entertainment, and recreation and certain retail industries, for the most part, we have not had that full widespread closure. The thing that's in front of us going forward is hopefully we don't have an additional rise in cases. We're getting hit with this supposedly second wave here. And that if we have the introduction of the vaccine from these two providers sooner rather than later, still going to be a matter of logistics and getting it, getting the mass inoculated. So that's going to be several months. So putting this all into context, it's about the fact that we went from really low to continued growth, a couple of roadblocks here and there, but we're still on a growth pattern. And I think going forward, we'll continue to see that. It's just a matter of how fast that rate of growth will be, and provided that we don't get hit with any more setbacks along the way.
Well,
no doubt that's
I'm looking forward to, I would say, March. January and February, I'm not real optimistic, frankly. I think March is going to be the better of the continued upswing. What's your thought on that?
Oh, I would not disagree with that. I wouldn't know exactly what the timing is, but it makes sense as far as your thought process, because typically we get the – we haven't had it the last few years because the economy was so strong, but we typically wind up with a post-holiday season kind of lull, a pullback, usually in January and part of February, and we start seeing the uptick in February, I think, because of the mitigating circumstances with the pandemic, we might be more in that valley, so to speak, post-holiday season. And as much as businesses have adjusted with online presence and things of that nature, it's still not where it was in the past. And I think that as confidence increases, and hopefully, I mean, we have not talked about it yet today, but besides the vaccine, the two points that, or the two variables that are so important, we need Congress to get in gear and get another package passed so that we can have another stimulus package, take care of the essential businesses and the small businesses out there so that we can maintain this viability, or else we're going to really lose some businesses in the near future.
Is Congress still part of our government?
I don't know, Lou. I'm just amazed that we haven't had you run for office yet.
Yeah, right.
That'll be the day. That'll be the day. They can't pay me enough.
Anthony, in summary, and in kind of looking at the next 90 days, we know that things have been very good for the services sector, although we're not at pre-pandemic levels. I don't know what that converts to in GDP from your point of view at this number and what it looks like maybe for first quarter.
Well, we're at 2.5% GDP growth, GDP growth on an annualized basis based on the current composite index. You know, it's interesting. I've looked at other forecasts from different economic strategy companies and whatnot to see what their take is. And, you know, initially there was some really strong projected growth, and then there was some pullback on the forecast, and then they've gone back and increased that again. You know, it just depends on going forward if we get those two things accelerated, one, the package, the stimulus package, and two, the distribution of the vaccine. That will eventually really impact the positive growth pattern. I expect continued growth going forward. That also is a good segue for me to mention that the semi-annual forecast we're looking at around the second week of January, we've held back on that and delayed it based on, you know, variables that we've experienced in not only the economy but also with the election. So we're going to have that again probably sometime around the second week of January. We'll come up with a firm date, and that'll give us a better insight as to what our respondents feel about business going forward and what they think will happen. We'll report on the year of 2020 as well as by quarter what we think will happen going forward in 2021.
That being said, and Tim and I actually knew you were delaying it a couple of weeks, but I want to bring up at this point, and we'll probably bring it up at the end of the show, which is probably coming up now, is that you have a new report that you only came out with, I think, last month for the first time. And on December 7th, we are going to have your representative, who is going to be giving the hospital services report. And I think that's really a timely report to have, considering what's going on with the hospital, quote-unquote, industry, and we'll see how healthy or not healthy they are. Like I said, I did not read the report from last month, so I don't even know where we're, where our starting point is, but I think that's a real cool report that you're coming out with, and we're looking to have your representative on the show with us. So that'll be on December 7th.
Great. Thanks for the plug on that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Always happy to plug the ISM. Anthony, thank you for being with us again on today's show for the services PMI.
Thank you, gentlemen. I don't speak with you. Have a great holiday, and we'll talk soon.
Safe one. Safe and
Thanks.
Healthy.
Thanks, Anthony.
Take care, gentlemen.
And we've been speaking with Anthony Nieves, who is the committee chair for the ISM Services Report on Business, which is another great insight. For those of you who want this report, we encourage you to go to instituteforsupplymanagement.org, where you can find all of their reports. And as Lou mentioned, we're going to have a new show starting on Monday, December 7th at 12 noon Eastern Time on the Hospital PMI with Nancy LeMaster. It'll be a really interesting discussion. Everybody assumes that that sector must be doing well with riches. You may find some surprises as you listen to that report. We encourage you to tune in. You can find it at mfgtalkradio.com, or you can go to jacketmediaco.com, where you'll find a link to this show, as well as the Women and Manufacturing podcast, Manufacturing Matters with Cliff Waldman, Where's Willie with William Miller, Full Time with Amy Nicholas, and Hazard Girls, speaking of women in non-traditional fields. And as always, thank you for listening to this episode of Manufacturing Talk Radio.
Thanks for joining us on Manufacturing Talk Radio. You can hear our next broadcast each Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at mfgtalkradio.com.